This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Ellis throws, and Meyer drives one high and deep into right field. Adios! Marcelo kisses it goodbye in Mexico. And Meyer is having a huge night in a country that means so much to him. It's 7-1 Red Sox.
Good game for the kids yesterday in Mexico.
Great game. These guys are studs.
Christian Campbell.
Yeah.
RBI double, I think.
Sure.
Meyer knocked in a few runs, had the home run there.
Socked a ding-dong. He'll be ready for the Worcester game on Friday.
Apparently, Meyer also just missed a three-run home run,
too.
How about that?
Nice.
Jumped to Kiev at Polar Park on Friday for the WooSox opener. Marcelo Meyer, I would imagine, in the lineup, smacking ding-dongs.
I would hope, but not only in the lineup. I would hope he's...
maybe on the program?
Maybe on the program. It, yeah, well, it's true. You put that out in the ether.
Boy.
Yeah, well, so I was about to ask.
Yeah.
Did the Red Sox make a mistake at second base? Should Meyer be the guy who's in? And again, Christian Campbell had a good night, but Meyer raking last night.
Yeah.
I was about to ask if they made a mistake, but I guess we'd like him. We don't want both of them on the big league roster.
No, when we're in. Some guys left in Worcester. Otherwise, we have to reschedule.
That would blow up in our face a little bit. Anthony, Meyer, Campbell are all in Boston. Great for the Red Sox.
Joining us now, Nick Sogard. Nick, tell us about your journey.
All love and respect to the WooSox, but that we would have misplayed that, sure. Our hand a little bit there, yeah.
Yeah, no, it should be good. Yeah. No, I think, you know, with Campbell, it's sort of one of those, hopefully he's just the second baseman on opening day through the whole season, right? Then Marcelo Meyer at some point is going to be your shortstop. You know, where everybody's waiting for the inevitable Trevor Story injury, so we'll see how long that takes. But I bet we'll see him with the big club, you know, at some point, maybe sooner rather than later. But I'm excited. We talked about it a lot yesterday. I'm excited that they are giving Campbell the opportunity right from Jump Street.
Okay. So you could jump in on that. We talked a lot about Campbell yesterday. Meyer with another big game. Did the Red Sox make a mistake there? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. We will be getting to our Major League Baseball tiers coming up.
Yes.
On a tier Tuesday at 11:30. So stay tuned for it. We'll talk to Tommy Curran today at 12:30. Not at high noon, as we were saying earlier. He needs a little extra time to prep.
Yeah, high noon 30.
Yeah, high noon 30. Yep. He needs a little extra time to prep to defend the Patriots as not cheap, apparently.
Gathering some more intel.
That's where he's coming from today, so we'll do that at 12:30.
All right.
Kiefer Madden is 12:45. Busy, busy day out there. But Keith, and I guess we'll get to more of this indirectly in tiers coming up. We're pretty bullish on the Red Sox and their chances to win the division. Was that a buying opportunity or is that a sucker's bet?
I think it's a buying opportunity. Plus 350 last I checked to win the division. For some reason, the Yankees and Orioles both have better odds, even with the injuries and the departures that both of those teams have had. And I know the Red Sox aren't exactly starting the season fully healthy, but their main star players are, and they're available. They're going to be in the lineup. One of them is going to be on the mound for opening day. So, yeah, it's as much as like I feel good about the Red Sox as I wonder why Vegas is so high on the Yankees and even the Orioles.
So maybe the answer comes from this next question. We're both pretty bullish on the Red Sox, and we think it's a buying opportunity, and I think they could win the American League, quite frankly. I don't think the American League is great, and I don't think the division is great.
No.
What if the pitching underachieves? What if, and we've kind of gamed this out before, I would say the face of it based on spring is Tanner Houck. And if you want to tell me, well, it's just spring and I don't care about Tanner Houck's numbers, well, then I would tell you it's just spring. You can't care about Garrett Crochet mowing people down. So just be consistent on that. Either you don't care about the spring numbers or you do. I care about Crochet, so I'm going to read into Tanner Houck and his struggles this spring. I think he'd be the face of it. based on the way that they played it this spring, and he's been poor. You were reading all these numbers off yesterday, Keith.
Oh, he's getting smoked. He's giving up a million hits. ERA is over 11.
So 29 hits in 13 and two-thirds innings. You can tack on five more base runners via walk. So 34 base runners in 13 and two-thirds.
Yeah.
An 11-20 ERA. Now, he's only given up one home run. That's promising. I actually heard Arcan talking about this last night. He's striking out, seven strikeouts in 13 and two-thirds.
He's a ground ball pitcher.
Not great, Bob.
Ground ball guy. Pitched to contact.
So, look, the numbers are bad. But some of the underlying numbers there aren't great. It's a million base runners. It's a million hits. It's not a lot of strikeouts. So it's not like he's striking guys out and there's some bad luck in there where he's dominant, but there's a little bad luck, a C&I single and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
No, no, no. The underlying numbers, what we have, limited capacity, in spring aren't good. So what if Houck regresses, Garrett Crochet can't handle the workload, Buehler is what he's been the last couple of years, save for a nice playoff run with the Dodgers. We already don't know who starter four and five is. Like, maybe that's why the Red Sox are more suckers bet the buying opportunity. What we think is a big improvement in the rotation,
all right,
maybe isn't.
So let's take a look at it this way. Last year, they finished 17th in baseball in pitching ERA.
Which, honestly, higher than I would have guessed.
Higher?
Yeah. Meaning better than
I mean, that's more like middle of the pack.
I wouldn't have guessed they were that high.
Yeah, kind of middle of the pack. It also kind of goes in lockstep with their record. They were, 81 and 81 last year? So dead in the middle, 500. There were times that the offense carried them for 2 weeks, then the offense would disappear and the pitching would be great and everything in between. Then the fielding would let them down, the bullpen would let them down. Like, they had many issues, as do teams that miss the playoffs every single year. Last year, they had three starters make 30 or more starts. Cutter Crawford, Tanner Houck, Brian Baio. Only one of those guys had an ERA below four, and that was Tanner Houck. You also had Nick Pivetta make 26 starts, Cooper Criswell make 18, and then a pile of guys make a handful.
Okay, but right now, your four and fives might as well be Cooper Criswell and Nick Pivetta and guys like this.
But your one and two are much better than anybody you had last year, in my opinion. Now, Houck had a career year, but I think Crochet is going to be better. I think Walker Buehler is going to be better than Cutter Crawford. And Tanner Houck, even if he has a step back, that's why those two additions were so good. They weren't relying on these guys to do the same, right? Even Brian Baio, I didn't like Brian Baio last year, but he did get better, right? Like, Nick's pointed this out a few times. Like, the last couple of months of Baio, really the second half of Baio was a pretty good pitcher. The first half was so bad that it kind of skewed the stats. He finished with a 4.49 ERA, but he finished better. He's going to miss two turns, so not an ideal start. But let's say he's even a wash or close to it. I think that just having Crochet and Buehler kind of push everybody else down, somebody else might emerge. Who knows? Like, our guy Richard Fitz or Sean Newcomb be as good as Cooper Criswell or Pivetta or Josh Winkowski? Like, probably. They could be that. They could wash that or be a little bit better. And that's getting nothing from Lucas Giolito. And I'm not even including Cutter Crawford yet. Like, so if you get something from either one of those guys, I think the rotation can be better. I also think they should score a few more runs. Like, I think the room for error won't be as small as it was last year.
Yeah,
the lineup's better.
Higher margin for error. I understand that. Walker Buehler, have we over-credited him? And, like, again, if you're factoring in Crochet doing this for the first time, like, Crochet's been dominant in spring, but he's never had a workload like we're anticipating him having.
Yeah.
So can Crochet handle it? I'm not even forecasting, like, a season-ending injury. That would be worst-case scenario. But what if Crochet, when he's throwing 175, maybe in a best-case scenario, pushing 200 innings, how does he handle that? He's a big framed guy, so maybe he handles it well, or maybe he's just a little more human over the course of the year. So if you factor in some of that with Crochet, Tanner Houck, maybe we were already factoring in even before spring a little bit of a drop off from last year. That might have been the best we've seen out of him. We've mentioned similar things out of Jaron Duran, and now Houck's had a terrible spring. Have we overrated Buehler? I mean, Buehler did have a good playoff run last year. If you go by the Rich rules, in 2021, he was great.
Filthy.
2.47 ERA, 33 starts, like 200-plus innings, a bunch of strikeouts. He was an all-star, top five in the Cy Young. Since then, I mean, he went out and had a pedestrian year, 4-plus ERA, got hurt 12 starts in. Last year, his ERA was over 5. He's 30 now. He's making a transition from the National League to the American League East. So are we overstating what he is? He's been very good in the spring.
Yes, he has been solid in the spring, and I think you're not penciling him in as the ace, and I just think he has a better track record than Crawford, Houck, and Bayo. So I don't think we're overstating. I don't think people are going crazy. Right, like he's not the first or second best addition this offseason, right? Everyone's excited about Crochet and Bregman, and then I think after that, it just sort of solidifies the rotation, which right now I know is completely banged up, but if you want to play this game with the other teams that you're competing with, Garrett Cole's done.
Yeah, so that's fair. And that's honestly mostly how I've come at it. The Yankees lost Soto, Cole is hurt,
Luis Heel is hurt, even Clark Schmidt I think is hurt.
Orioles, if you want to keep playing the game out of loss,
Burns?
Not pitchers necessarily. No. Oh, sorry, Burns leaving,
out.
But injury wise, not necessarily a lot of guys banged up. But Gunnar Henderson starting the year on the IL, they lost Santander. Like that's mostly how I've come at it.
Yeah.
But have we really analyzed?
No, that's true.
Some of the Red Sox potential issues.
But I think even with the not a full 5-man rotation right now and having to bring two guys up that weren't ideal. I think if you just stack up the rotations right now, they're better than the Yankees. The Yankees are relying very much on Max Fried, who is the best track record of all the guys. He is switching teams and leagues. And so now you have Max Fried, and then it's Carlos Rodon, Carlos Carrasco, Marcus Stroman. I mean, this is Rich Rule's personified. These are all guys that were good 5 years ago that have stunk since.
They had to sign Ryan Yarbrough yesterday. That's how bad things are.
So the Yankees' rotation stinks, and their lineup is worse. And yet everybody is picking, not everybody, but the Vegas favorite far and away to win the division is the Yankees, which is very surprising to me.
So do you agree with this? 617-779-7937. Guys, you can play this game with every staff in the league.
Well, not every staff.
You can play the injury game with every staff.
The Dodgers is a pretty good
staff. And the Dodgers, right, are like 12 deep, so that you actually can't play the game with them.
Braves have a good staff.
But in general, you can play the injury game with every staff in the league. Walker Buehler last year had an ERA over 5, and we're like, he's a number 2. So, like, I don't know that you can do that with every single team. Tanner Houck did it for the first time. Crochet's never done it.
No, yeah.
And two guys are already hurt in their rotation, so I don't know that you can play that game with every rotation.
But they are fragile, and I'm not even going through the rest of the league. I'm just going through the division and the teams that might be picked ahead of the Red Sox, and I would say as much as the Red Sox rotation is not at full strength, take a look at what they're going up against. Like, there's going to be some weird games where you're like, all right, here comes Carlos Carrasco out here to close out the series, hopefully to avoid the sweep or something, and the Yankees are going to be like, well, Aaron Judge better hit 2 home runs or like we're not going to win the game. That's how I look at that. Aaron Judge is awesome. He's better than anybody on the Red Sox, but can he win every one of these games for
them? I agree with you on the Red Sox and where they sit in the division. So it's really more of a devil's advocate thing. But I do wonder if on the pitching staff, to a degree, we've been whistling past the graveyard because they have some names.
All right.
And the last few years, they've had a bunch of either young guys or scrapped together openers and things like that, and we're a little too comfortable with what they actually have in the rotation.
But baseball is also one of those sports where each year, if you look at the team, the projected lineup, and you say, if you're dumb enough to be like, well, if they all have a good year, they're going to make the playoffs. Like, okay, that's every team.
Right.
I mean, maybe like not the White Sox, but like almost every team. If they all have a career year, just like if they all suck, then you're going to miss the playoffs. So you're hoping for, you find a couple really consistent guys, and that's what makes them the great players. And then the other ones, maybe year to year, are a little bit different. So I at least think with the Red Sox starting pitchers, Houck, Crawford, and Bayo, I don't think you can predict that they're all going to be worse than they were last year. It might be one's the same, one's worse, one's better, and you kind of chalk it up to like, okay, that's sort of probabilities, and then you get to lean more heavily on Crochet and Walker Buehler.
How concerned are you with Houck specifically in a spring?
A bit, because I think we even saw it last year. You know, the guy post All-Star break wasn't really the same, right? Like, he was nasty. He had a stretch there, and I think, did he get Cy Young votes? He probably should have.
I thought when we talked about this the other day, he didn't. Because I suggest
no, he didn't. No, he didn't. And I think it's because he fell off. And it was.
So I'm pulling up his splits right now from a year ago.
I bet it got kind of nasty.
So pre All Star, post All Star for him last year. Where is that son of a?
Hey, you know what? It didn't really balloon out worse than I thought. He had a 1.60 ERA in his first 6 games, and then the month of May he had a 2.09. So going into June, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball. He was leading the league in a bunch of stats. Then in the month of June, he had a 4.85. And then it went down to a 3.38 in July, 4.29 in August. And then he had 3 starts in September, October, was a 3.21. So it never got to
never
the point
got
where,
ugly.
Like, no. But he was like the ERA leader for a while and still ended the season with whatever it was a 3.12. Yeah, 3.12 is nothing to sneeze at. But he was like cruising like under two for a while. And so that kind of got away from him a little bit. So, yeah, I have a little bit of concern because I always thought he was pitching like way over his skis. Like I was like, I don't know if this guy's really
good. You were expecting a drop off to come and it happened. And now it's continued through the spring. And I think it's valid to have some concern about him. I mean, Crochet to me is the guy I would have the least concern with.
Which is funny because he's never had a full season like the way Hauk had last year.
He's never had a full season. Again, he made his starts last year, but he was just babied in the second half. I mean, he's had arm issues going back to when he first got into the league.
Yeah.
Tommy John multiple times? Am I wrong about that?
I think two?
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah. I mean, that's not a guy I should be overly confident in, but I am. Hauk, if there's some regression, if Buehler's just what he's been the last two times he's been on a big league mound before and after the injury, he was pretty mediocre. And then you have injuries after that. Like,
the one good thing
what would that do to the Red Sox? And does that take some of the air out of the balloon and the positivity going into opening day? It might.
Well, and that's why you go back to like the quantity game, and they were talking about a 6-man rotation, and now right now it's 3. But then you're going to see at least what those other two guys have, and maybe Fitz and Newcomb are the surprises this year. Like, who the hell knows? Like, maybe Fitz is Cooper Criswell or better, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, we didn't really expect anything of him, but when he makes his starts, he's actually not that bad. Hopefully by the All-Star break or later, you've at least gotten to the point where there are 5 guys that are giving you a chance to win. The one thing with Hauk, too, is last year was his first full year and just the second year where he was a full-time starter. The first 3 years we saw him in the majors, they were sort of like
ping-ponging back and forth.
He's a reliever. Could he be a closer? Could he be a setup man? Could he be like, no, he's a starter now. And that should help. I know he's coming off a bad spring, but it's just he's more used to that kind of schedule now.
617-779-7937. Busy day for you here on Jones and Keefe. We got a Keefe for Madness at 12:45. Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday, typically at high noon. We're going to talk to him today at 12:30. You can also vote at Jones and Keefe. Elite 8. We are now down to the Elite
Woo!
8 in the March Madness uniform bracket. In the football region, we have one matchup today in the Elite 8. The number 1 seeded Chargers in their powder blues versus the number 2 seeded Pat Patriot. Red uniforms for the Pats. Good matchup. Winner goes to the Final 4. We'll get you one more matchup today. We'll update all of that coming up at 11:45.
It's Tier Tuesday with Jones and Keith.
Tier Tuesday, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Opening day for most of baseball, minus the Dodgers and Cubs.
Yeah, they already played 2. Although they're calling their, like, they got their opener this weekend, or this week, and you're like, no, they don't.
Yeah, no, he's
like,
not their
the
opener.
Dodgers, it's like, no.
You've
already played games.
You've already played multiple games. Uh-huh. But the Red Sox will open on Thursday with most of the rest of baseball, so we figured it's a good time to tier off MLB teams on a Tier Tuesday. What do we have for tiers?
All right, I think right now we have 5 tiers, and we can always add or subtract as we go along. The tiers are fluid. We're going to start with the top tier. It's going to call it World Series.
You led the Dodgers to World Series.
So World Series, right? The teams that are really like going into the season thinking World Series. Mm-hmm. Right below that, fittingly, just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside.
All right, third tier, middle tier right now is a player worth watching.
Watch him now on the screen.
So I think about this, like, I think we did this in our NBA tiers or we did something similar to that.
We did, like,
where
league
it's
pass.
Like, yeah, like, team's not great, but you're like, all right, I do want to see player X. So right. I think there'll be a bunch of teams that fit this.
Is this guy pitching? Is this guy at the plate?
Yes.
I gotta pop in there. Yeah, so like a league pass type of idea. Yeah.
Yes, so it could really be anybody. The next one down is Below Media Corps. Or mediocre, but for our parlance, it is Media Corps. Now, Media Corps.
Who was that individual? I'm trying to remember. But yes, what a classic drop.
It is an all-timer. And then the bottom, Tank.
Who are these f***ing guys?
Just bottom tier Tank. It sadly happens in baseball. There are a lot of teams that tank. So I think that should cover us.
I think we're good.
With those 5 tiers.
So let's see. Like you said, add in some track, but I think that's a good baseline for sure. 5 tiers. Billy, why don't you get us started? Who's our first team?
All right, we'll start in the AL East, the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay, I would say the Baltimore Orioles are
just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, you don't like them that much?
Well.
So they can't go below player worth watching because of Gunnar Henderson. He's one of the best players in baseball. But Adley Rutschman's good.
Yeah,
Mullins, Holiday. They got, I don't know. I mean, their odds right now, and I don't want to base this strictly off the odds, so this will be the last time I say it. But they're in between the Yankees and the Red Sox. Yeah. I think they're projected as like a playoff team, so aren't they more likely to be just a bit outside?
Their win total is 87.5, so right. Based on that, yeah, probably just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside.
Thank Set you. Them there. Yeah, we'll yeah. adjust.
Okay.
That's Boston fine. Red Sox.
Okay, so I would put the Red Sox just a bit outside.
Not World Series.
Just a bit outside.
World Series.
I already have
baby.
A feeling we are going to have a very different view on World
Series. You
have
one team up there?
Well, let's see.
Oh, no.
Let's see.
Everybody's just a bit outside? Like a bad strike zone?
Let's find out.
You know what? I won't kill you on just a bit outside. I think I'm very high on them. You're high on them, too. But, like, let's not get too slappy.
Let's put them there. Let's put them in just a bit outside.
I think that's fair.
That's the right spot, I think.
Okay, well.
Okay.
New York Yankees.
I think they're also just about
a crowded tier.
Media core.
Let me, how about this? I got one. Player worth watching.
So that's honestly where
Aaron
I would put
Judge.
Them. Aaron Judge and what?
Arson Judge.
What exactly?
Now that Garrett Cole's out.
What exactly on the Yankees is still worth watching?
No arms and one leg.
Yeah, I mean.
Max Fried.
Is Max Fried a player worth watching?
I'm tuning into every Max Fried starts. Oh, I just picked up my MLB extra innings package.
If you are, then we got him just a bit outside.
No, player worth watching, Aaron Judge.
Watch him now on the screen.
That's it. I'm with you. Okay, good.
Good.
All right.
I like it.
We're in lockstep.
Nice. Now I think we have the Orioles too high, but keep going. Yeah.
Sorry. Tampa Bay Rays.
Okay,
below
so that
media
yeah,
core.
I think that's
them.
The right spot for them.
Yeah, they're not really in the tank category, but they're not going to be really a factor in any of this.
Right, like they'll be,
yeah.
At the end of the year, you'll be like, eh, I don't know that I really want to play them. They're 500. There's no one on the team that's any good.
No. Is there a guy worth watching? Franco update?
No.
Well, he has a monster.
There might be, but they're not good if there are.
He's out the game.
Yeah, so I don't even think they have a player worth watching below media core. Good spot for Tampa.
All right, very good.
Toronto Blue Jays.
Right. Toronto Blue Jays, I would say player worth watching with Vlad Guerrero.
Thank you.
Watch him now on the screen.
The difference between Tampa and Toronto is Toronto has Vladdy Guerrero, who we should all be watching based on his Red Sox future, potentially.
He could be the starting first baseman next year.
Player worth watching, the Toronto Blue Jays. I like
this. This is a good-looking graphic already.
Nice. I'm
cooking it up right now. Looks pretty right, nice.
To the Central, the Chicago White Sox.
Oh, that's a tank. That's a tank.
These guys.
The worst team in Major League history last year, weren't they?
Yes.
Did they break the record for losses? Or maybe in a 162-game season or something?
I think losses in a row they beat.
They were
modern
close.
Day.
If they weren't the worst, they were right there. Like, worse than, like, the Detroit
like
Tigers with
spiders or
Mike Moroth.
Like,
yeah.
1890.
Oh, there were some bad Spiders teams. That is true.
Yeah, don't sleep on the bad Spiders teams.
Most losses in a season were the 1899 Spiders, the Cleveland Spiders. They had 134 losses.
Oof.
The next worst team ever... The Chicago White Sox from last year,
so
they
since,
went 41-121.
So since 1900, they are the worst baseball team in history. Their over-under win total, not that we should bank it all on this, but their over-under win total is 53.5.
Gross.
That's a tanking team.
That
right
is
there.
So bad.
Suffers better buying opportunity.
Ooh, great question, Nick.
You might be...
I'm going to say buying opportunity.
Get in there.
You're going to bank on them?
You're going to take the under on White Sox? So I think, I want to say...
I would say buying opportunity.
Was it PFT last year going into the season? PFT commenter from the Part of My Take was saying he wanted to bet run line against the A's every game. Because I think going into last year...
Oh, they were projected to be really bad.
We thought the A's were going to be what the White Sox ended up being. And I think he was like, can you turn a profit on it? And I think it got to the point... The tough thing with the run line is they might pile up a bunch of losses, but if they lose by a run, then you end up losing your bet. So I don't think it was necessarily profitable.
No. I'm taking the over. Buying opportunity. Right. What else?
Cleveland Guardians.
That feels like below media core. Well,
Jose Ramirez,
is he worth watching?
40-40 guy.
Great point, Keith.
Put him up there. He was going for it all last season.
Player worth watching.
Watch him now on the screen.
Good for you, sir.
That's a guy worth watching.
Oh, yeah.
Rest of the team below media core, but
media
he's worth
core,
watching.
Yeah.
Detroit Tigers.
Is Skubal worth watching?
Wow, good one. He did win the Cy Young last year.
Watch him now on the screen.
Is he, though? You're going to watch him now on the screen? I guess he could.
How many teams we got in that tier right now? It feels like a heavy tier.
Well, it's a good league.
Okay, that's a good point.
So, not yet. No, I think Tarek Skubal.
He's worth watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get
him
the
Tigers team almost made, but did they make the CS last year? Or did they?
What are you making a case for just a bit outside?
No, well, I mean, they had to go on an insane run.
They did go on an insane run.
Let's not worry too much about...
You big Riley Green guy? Is that what you're saying?
Spencer Torkelson?
Torkelson.
Let's not worry too much about how crowded these tiers are. Let's put them on a player worth watching, and then let's see where we go.
No, Detroit, last year they finished 86-77. They were a game out of the division.
Hold on, I'm going to tell you.
Oh, no, wait. Nope. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong year.
Those pop-ups. Really
I'm looking at 2001. Okay. Jones' favorite year. No, they were, they did. They were 86 wins. I picked a random year, which they had the same number of wins.
Nice.
Bizarre.
Next team.
Kansas City Royals.
I mean, maybe this is the
player to watch?
Just a bit outside.
Oh, you like them that much?
They were really good last year.
Okay.
So they have more than just a player worth watching. Reagans is pretty good. I mean, Reagans is a Cy Young candidate.
Reagans is good. Bobby Witt's maybe the best player in baseball.
Salvi's still there.
You want to bump him up one? Put him with the Red Sox tier?
Is there any room left in player to watch?
Player to watch is pretty thick.
Okay.
All right, we'll go just a bit outside.
Yeah, let's
now.
Do it.
All right.
Minnesota Twins.
So that's below media core at best.
Below media core.
You think they're just a bit outside? They're not a player worth watching.
They'll make the playoffs and lose in the first round again.
Okay, so they're kind of...
No, let's put them with the Rays.
Yeah, I like them. They're very Tampa-ish.
Yeah.
Okay.
To the west, the Houston Astros.
Just a bit outside?
Yeah, probably. I think we got to give him that.
Just a bit outside.
Yeah.
They did lose everybody and put Altuve in left where he can't field.
But they still have Yordan Alvarez, right?
They do.
Okay.
That's one player.
Yeah, well,
okay, but we have Baltimore and the Red Sox just a bit outside. Is Houston that much worse than those teams?
No, and I think that they should make the playoffs, shouldn't they?
Yes.
Yeah. That this division, as we're about to hear, is not great.
No.
Yeah.
Los Angeles Angels.
Okay, so are they a tank?
Ooh. Maybe.
Are they that bad?
Are they? Yeah.
Or are they below media core?
What about Trout?
What about Trout?
Is he so good you have to put him in the middle?
No.
Are
they player worth watching? But he's hurt all the time.
Trout's not even worth watching anymore.
Yeah, that's sad.
No.
It's a sad day, bad day
at
for my
best,
Trout.
At best, they're below media core.
Let's put him below media core.
Okay.
Below media core.
Yeah.
Athletics.
Same?
Tank? Yeah.
They're trash.
They're going to play in like a minor league stadium, aren't they?
Brent Rucker? That's true. That's
who these guys?
They're tank.
I mean, you don't know Brent Rucker. That's on you.
Mason Miller.
That is on me. They always have like a random guy that has a great war. You're like, wow, Billy Beane found another one as they lose 100 games.
Tank. All right.
Seattle Mariners.
Below media core.
Are they below media core or are they just a bit outside? I think I have too many players to be a player worth watching.
Or players worth watching?
Julio Rodriguez worth watching.
Logan Gilbert?
Yeah, right. Their rotation's good enough where I think you can't put them there.
Randy Rosarena's there now.
Yeah, I would go either just a bit outside or player worth watching. Yeah. You could put him in player worth watching, can't you?
Yeah. J-Rod?
J-Rod.
Let's do it.
Watch him now on the screen.
They're not just a bit outside,
no.
So that's probably the right spot.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Texas Rangers.
I think they're just a bit outside. I don't want to overstate them. They won the World Series 2 years ago. Yep. I like Seager. I think they're just a bit outside.
Yeah, that's fine. Those guys
just a bit outside.
Those guys were so much better when they signed Simeon and Seager a couple years ago. I was like, oh my God, those contracts.
That's a lot of money.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Not bad.
All right, to the NL East, the Atlanta Braves.
Is this our first World Series team?
I think because it's so bare up there.
We have no World Series teams in the American League.
I know, but there's
like the whole American League.
But there's one real World Series team.
There's one, yeah.
There's one.
We could put them on a different tier.
Their
above
own tier.
World Series.
Mm.
Just Dodger land.
Just give them the trophy.
just hand it to them.
Yeah.
We could Braves top tier for now.
Okay.
World Series team.
You led the Dodgers to World Series.
Yeah, they deserve to be up there.
Two National League teams in the World Series tier. Okay.
It's never been done before.
I haven't seen it.
All right.
Miami Marlins.
Okay, they're tanking.
Who are these guys?
That's a tanking team.
That's a mess.
Yeah. They're for sure
sad state of affairs.
New York Mets.
All right. Just a bit outside.
They should be just a bit outside.
I think they're just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside.
They have more than just Soto. He's the player on the team worth watching, but they have more. They're just a bit outside.
Lindor's great. Yep. They got Alonso back. They got some pitchers. So, yeah.
Philadelphia Phillies.
That's a World Series team.
Okay, good. Let's crowd that tier a little bit.
I'd put them up there.
Okay, I was going to say just a bit outside. Let's put them up there.
You led the Dodgers to the World Series.
Sure.
Because no one can complain if we have three National League World Series teams.
No.
Two might be a complaint.
World Series.
Yeah, three. Let's get three up there.
Make it happen.
Good.
Washington Nationals.
I would lean tanking, but I could be talked into below
media
core. Yeah, I could be talked into that.
You want to do below media core for them?
That's fine.
Yeah.
All right, to the Central, the Chicago Cubs.
All right, well, they're minimum player worth watching because of my guy, Kyle Tucker.
Okay.
They got Kyle Tucker.
He's worth watching?
You damn right he is. Wait till the Dong draft, which is on Thursday. Wait till you see how fast Kyle Tucker comes off the board. Your head's going to spin.
It's all dependent on where Keith is picking. Yeah. Okay.
I say they're a player worth watching.
They're not just a bit outside.
Do you think they're that good?
No. Okay. In fact,
but I don't think they're below media core either.
I think if I was going to vote, I would vote below media core. You want to get Billy on this
tiebreaker?
One? Voting. No, I'm saying, I'm sorry, if it were up to me, rather.
No. Cubs tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Hey, what were my options?
Below
media core.
You guys are sleeping on Kyle Tucker.
I will be
fast asleep.
I will be in the Dong draft too. Good job, Bill.
Cincinnati Reds.
Okay, that's a player worth watching.
Cruz. So is Kyle Tucker.
Watch him now on the screen.
I'll give you that.
Swiping bags, hitting home runs, making errors.
6'10". Like, why is he playing that position?
Ellie De La Cruz, player worth watching.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay.
Milwaukee Brewers.
I would also say below media core.
Yeah.
Like, if the Cubs are down there, I'll be fair and put Milwaukee down there. Am I missing a player worth watching?
No, I don't think
Christian Yelich, he's still there.
No, dude. He
might be washed, though.
Ryan Braun, Robin Yount.
Prince Buehler.
Paul Molitor. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. It's a loaded team.
CC Sabathia for 6 months.
I would
below
say
media core.
Below media core.
Yep.
Pittsburgh Pirates.
Watch him now on the
Skeens. Paul Skeens.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Skeens. No, they have to be player worth watching. Yeah, they have to be. Sorry.
That's the most must-watch starting pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, maybe the most must-watch player. Yeah, he has to be there.
I mean, if Ohtani's pitching, Ohtani. I don't know. I mean, Ohtani's still that guy for me, but yeah, Pittsburgh, Skeens.
Okay.
St. Louis Cardinals.
What's even left there?
Below media core.
I think they're below media core. They're not tank. They're never bad enough to tank, I don't think. What's
Who
there?
Do they even have?
I am Bloom.
Yeah. All right, below media
Actually,
core.
I changed my vote.
Who are these guys?
Soon to be Masataka Yoshida.
Yeah, I guess.
I think they're below media core.
That's fine.
But I could be talked into tanking.
Yeah.
All right, one division to go.
All right, to the west, the Arizona Diamondbacks.
So is Corbin Carroll a player to watch, or did you put him
just a bit outside?
I would put them just a bit outside, but Corbin Carroll is a player worth watching.
All right, but let's put him in just a bit outside. I'm good with that.
Colorado Rockies.
Who are
these guys?
That's absolutely a tank.
Man. Yeah, they stink.
Probably a buying opportunity to bet them for the worst record in baseball instead of the White Sox.
I was trying to find a Rocky to draft in the Dong draft, and it's pretty barren.
Over-under win total 58.5.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's a bad team. Tank.
They have like $5 seats out in left field. They call it the Rock Pile. You can go out there.
Not worth it.
No.
Bad investment.
Keep your money.
That's a sucker's bet.
Okay. LA Dodgers.
Okay, yeah, World Series.
This is it.
You led the Dodgers to World Series.
Sure did.
It's the only true World Series team, but they'll put them up there.
San Diego Padres.
Are they just a bit outside, or is Tatis the player worth watching?
They got Tatis. They do have Dylan Cease. So he's not at the level of like a Paul Skeens. He's a really good starting pitcher.
They do slot Bogarts.
They have Jackson Merrill, who's like a young guy who made an All-Star team last year.
Manny Machado's still good as much.
Yeah. They do have Manny Machado. They got Luis Arraez, the guy who every year wins the batting title that nobody wants.
Yeah, it's 370 every year. People don't care.
They have him.
All right, let's put him just a bit outside.
I think they could
just a bit outside.
Yeah. I like it.
All right, and then
the San Francisco Giants.
Below media core.
Below media core.
Yeah.
They've swung and missed big time in free agency over the last several years. Do they even have a player worth watching?
I don't think so.
45-year-old Justin Verlander's there.
Logan Webb? Yeah, that's not going to get it done.
Below media core.
All right, below media core. All right, so here you go. We have five tiers for the baseball start of the 2025 season. Top tier, the World Series tier. Braves, Phillies, Dodgers. So something's got to give.
Three teams and they're all in the National League. That'll be an interesting World Series.
The dogfight.
Yeah.
Just a bit outside, Orioles, Red Sox, Royals, Astros, Rangers, Mets, Snakes, Padres.
Nine? I think I counted nine.
Eight. Come on. Player worth watching, Yankees, Blue Jays, Guardians, Tigers, Mariners, Reds, Pirates.
Okay. That's a smaller tier than I thought. Okay.
Just one smaller than that. That's seven. Back to eight for below media core. Rays, Twins, Angels, Nationals, Cubs, Brewers, Cardinals, Giants. And the bottom, the tank tier, White Sox, A's, Marlins, Rockies.
Nice.
Crushed it.
Now, fair point. Jackson Churio for the Brewers, is that a player worth watching? Do we need to bump Milwaukee?
If you guys are going to put Kyle Tucker up
then
there,
you're a firm no on that.
If I forgot about him, he's probably not worth watching.
Yeah, good point.
Also true.
Yeah. Fair.
All right. The tiers are the tiers.
The tears are the
terms. Stone.
I said what I said. I'll stand on business.
Go baseball.
These are our tiers. Okay, so you can check those out at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. We'll get the MLB tiers on a Tier Tuesday out shortly with opening day, just 2 days away. The true opening day, anyway, just 2 days away. While you're at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram, you can also vote in our two Elite Eight matchups we have in our March Madness uniform bracket. We'll get you the updates on that coming up next. We're through to the Elite Eight. In the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket, we have two matchups today, two matchups tomorrow, and by Thursday and Friday, Keefe will have final four matchups for you. The best uniform in the history of Major League Baseball. No debate on this. All debates are done.
You
we
guys
hashed
voted.
It out. We settled it.
That's
you right. guys voted. The best history, best uniform, I should say, in the history of baseball, basketball, football, and hockey. We'll get you those by the end of the week. And we'll have a championship match on Monday, and we'll be done with the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket by the end of March.
The biggest surprise to me thus far has been a home team lost. So there was at least one representative in each sport, each region, of a Boston uniform. And the Boston uniforms are very good. They all deserve to be in the bracket. I don't know how many of them deserve to be in the Final Four, even the Elite Eight. But yesterday, one of the matchups was in the hockey region. The Boston Bruins, great classic uni, versus the 90s Anaheim Mighty Ducks with the cross stick, the goalie, old school Jason Voorhees goalie mask with a duck bill.
You like to emphasize the duck bill,
I like that part the most about the uniform. The color scheme also sharp, wearing the eggplant and
not
like
a plum.
Turquoise.
Not a burnt purple.
Burnt purple and a teal. Beat the Bruins. Beat
they
the black and
down.
Gold. I was shocked.
So
shocked to see it.
I'm happy about two things with our bracket, Keith, as we advance. And I'll get you some updates here in a moment. But I'm happy about two things. Number one, it won't be all four Boston sports teams. That was I was tossing and turning. It kept me up at night.
But
worried about
that. It means
that
we have a smart...
I was very shook.
We have a smart audience with a critical eye.
Correct.
And, you know, they calls them like they sees them.
Yeah.
It's not just what team do I like more. We know which team you like more.
And we would never tell you how to vote. We wouldn't even try to influence the vote in any way, shape, or form.
No.
So you guys decided that totally on your own.
Yep.
But not only do we not have all four Boston sports teams, I was a little worried we'd have all four number one seeds. That also won't happen.
Also great. Yeah, that was great to see.
Because it was chalky there for a while.
Yeah.
So the Bruins did fall yesterday in the hockey region. That was a Sweet 16 matchup against the old Ducks uniform with the cross sticks and the duck bill.
Look at that duck bill. And kind of
Keith
like
likes to point out.
Angry face, too. You see how the eyes
it's
are
not
kind
a happy
of...
duck.
No, duck means business.
You had the Raptors take down the Sonics in the hoops region, so they advanced to the Elite Eight. In the baseball region, have we even been able to call it? I think
yes,
we have.
It's now gone final.
Retro Braves, blue with the lowercase a, beat out the 14-seed Orioles Smiling Bird, but that was 588 votes. It was 50.5 to 49.5.
Yeah, so it must have been one or two votes.
And Nick was very nervous that Nick accidentally voted for the Braves. He meant to vote for the Orioles. He accidentally voted.
You might have caused
it. If it was 50.1 to 49.9, it would be because I misclicked.
Your misclick would have been the reason the Braves advanced. And then we had the Patriots. Pat Patriot just smoke the Buccaneers creamsicle uniforms.
Okay? I don't mind that. I think that it should have been a little bit closer, maybe, but the Pat Patriot uniform is fantastic. And what's really funny, too, is with that matchup in particular, two of the worst football teams ever.
Oh, they were horrendous.
Wore those uniforms.
Horrendous.
The Bucs were horrible. They had the year, didn't they either lose every game or they won one game? And then the Patriots obviously had some horrible.
They were 0-14.
They were 0-14. Pats had like a 1-15 wearing those. So, like, those are not synonymous with good teams.
Okay, so all those teams advance. So, your matchups today, and we'll get you two more Elite Eight matchups tomorrow. They're both local. Pat Patriot, the 2 seed, against the top-seeded Chargers in their powder blues.
Wow.
Patriots fans are out, and they're voting heavy in the football region.
I'll tell you what the tiebreaker here is. The helmet. The helmet for the Patriots thing is a thing of beauty.
Yep.
I love the Pat Patriot helmet. The uniform, you could say, man, maybe I like the powder blue a little bit better than even the red.
I'm going to be honest. I don't want all the local. I didn't want all four local teams to advance. I don't want people to vote for them just because they're local. But I personally prefer Pat Patriot to that Chargers uniform.
No, at this point, vote for the best uniform. That is a better uniform.
Even though it wasn't a higher seed, that was kind of done with the full group. Personally, I do prefer the Pat Patriot
uniform. Also would like, selfishly, if the Pat Patriot wins the whole thing, we can say the best uniform is employed by the Patriots, and they don't even use it anymore.
They don't even wear it.
They use, or they use it like once or twice a year, but they should flip completely to this uniform. Get nobody likes the Flying Elvis.
I would agree. So that's the football region, I would say, based on early returns.
Yeah.
Pat Patriot probably punching their way through to the Final Four. Right now, it is a dead heat. You can go vote in our hockey matchup as well at Jones and Keefe. It is the top-seeded Whalers.
This is a good one.
Against the number two seed Mighty Ducks. It is very, very close early, but way too early to call a precinct, but it's neck and neck already.
That Hartford Whaler, you like that, where it's the H and the W and the whale's tail?
Love that.
Beautiful.
How could you not like
that? And green? Is that a Kelly green? What kind of green is that?
Boy,
standard.
You've been putting me. It's a burnt green, I think.
I mean, if you get a box of crayons, Crayola at one point I think went up to like 108 crayons.
That's true.
That's 108 different
colors.
It's
not a lime green. Is it a Kelly green?
I think it could be Kelly green.
Mm.
Although Kelly green didn't advance very far.
Yeah, seaweed
what
green.
What food is it?
What food is that?
It's a seaweed green.
Like a broccoli.
We're going eggplant against what?
Eggplant broccoli versus green beans.
Peas.
Asparagus.
Peas.
Eggplant.
Could be.
It's not a pea green.
You don't think that's a pea green kind of? No,
it's broccoli green. Nah, broccoli green. That's a good call.
Broccoli
green. Yeah, it's broccoli green.
Get your iron.
So those are your two matchups today. We will get you your basketball and your baseball matchup tomorrow. The Elite Eight will then be done, and we'll be on to the Final Four by Thursday and Friday.
What a well-run bracket. Great job by all of us.
How are we going to do 64 teams? The 64-team, not everybody does a 64-team bracket.
No, in fact, we're the only ones who did.
How are we going to do a 64-team bracket and get you a champion first?
Amazing.
That's impressive.
It's amazing.
Like, that is an impressive, impressive thing to do.
It's attention to detail.
Yes. Yeah. Because no one stays on top of the details like us. Say it again.
I would go with luck.
A little bit of that as well.
Yeah.
Now, we have such a good idea for the 2026 March Madness that do we just run that in April? Do we just run it right back with more brackets?
Run a bracket every month.
Every month bracket.
Ooh, I don't know if we can do
maybe
that.
Too much.
But like an April bracket, I don't hate the idea of.
April Fool's bracket.
We'd still finish
before the real tournament.
Best pranks on your buds.
Best pranks on your buds.
Yeah.
1 through 64.
Yep.
Couple of play-in matchups.
The old park bench. That'd be one. We have one guy kind of behind all fours. And you just kind of push him over your other buddy. Park bench should be a
hot
one
foot.
Seed.
I mean, hot foot is hot just foot. Hilarious.
Whoopee cushion, one seed.
So there you go.
Spiking someone's drink.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Just knock their books out of their hands in the hallway. That's a good one.
Classic.
I mean, the old below the belt tap.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That'll get them.
That's good. That's good fun.
That's just good hijinks right there. 617-779-7937. Vote at Jones and Keefe on Twitter. You can see the full bracket on Instagram and Twitter again. At Jones and Keefe. Normally, at this time on a Tuesday, we would tell you that Tommy Curran will be joining us on a Tommy Tuesday at high noon. He's going to be at 12:30 this week, so we'll talk to him shortly. We'll get back to whether or not the Patriots should consider taking a running back at pick number 4. And I also want to update Tom Brady with some thoughts on Bill Belichick and how it ended. These are pretty interesting. Let's get into those with all your phone calls next.